All right. Well, good morning to everyone. It's good to see everyone this morning. I know it's bright and early to get up for another full day of presentations and everything. So the study that I'm going to talk about today, it's a follow-up study to one that I presented on last year. Last year, I evaluated a middle school yoga program. Last year, we looked at the control group versus the treatment group, those who did yoga, seventh graders who did yoga versus those who didn't. And what we did in this past year, and what I'll be talking about today, is a research study we did where we tracked the kids who did yoga the first year. We followed them for a second year to look at changes over time for a second year. And so that'll be what we focus on today. I have no financial relationships to disclose for this study. So some of the reasons we started this project was all the different psychosocial challenges our teens and tweens face, beginning at a younger and younger age all the time, and leading to a variety of health outcomes. We might call these negative health outcomes and different conditions and challenges. And especially some of these statistics, some of these things on the rise, such as ADD, ADHD diagnosis, anxiety disorders, depression, and continued challenges with self-esteem, self-image, eating disorders. And of course, as a kind of a side note, we see a rise in obesity among, obviously, our youth today. And currently, less than 25% are being treated for these conditions, which can become chronic or lifetime issues. And so these are some of the different challenges our students do face. Most of these we focus on are the psychosocial aspects, but then those definitely do affect our physical health, things such as obesity. And so there's a variety of different ways yoga can address some of these topics. Some of these challenges. One of these is the breath, and that's our pranayama practice, just controlled breathing, expanding the inhale, expanding the exhale, and even allowing a pause at the beginning and at the end of the breath. A lot of research has been done, especially among adults, looking at the benefits of pranayama for anxiety disorders, depression, different, obviously, stress management solutions, and more we're starting to practice see this amongst children, because more and more children are being diagnosed with anxiety conditions and stress conditions, and so more and more children are enjoying the benefits of pranayama and other mind-body or mindfulness practices. Some other ways that yoga specifically is effective, and when we say yoga here, we're focused on what most of us think yoga in the West, not the East. In the East, yoga can mean a lot more things, and those who practice yoga in a deeper level may practice karma yoga or bhakti yoga, for some of you who are familiar with that. We're focused more on the West yoga, where we're doing asanas with pranayama, with controlled breathing, and we're not focused on the yamas or niyamas, for any of you familiar with Patanjali's eight paths or eight steps of yoga practice. So just to kind of clarify that. But of course, there are a lot of meditative aspects that I think some of my co-presenters will be talking about today, the benefits of yoga or benefits of meditation and mindfulness practices, slowing down the mind, and as well as a moving meditation, yoga similar to Tai Chi, Qigong, and other practices. And, of course, the benefits, physical benefits of flexibility, and also trying to sink into a pose and holding it, which is kind of the opposite. Does anybody work with children? I'm just curious. On a regular basis? Okay. I don't. I work with college students. And they are very good at just staying still and being quiet in class. When I ask students, when they have a question in class, they don't ever raise their hand. They just sit and act like I didn't say anything. So I'm also a statistics professor, so then maybe that's part of it. So yeah, I just think it's funny because when students get to college, it's they're fairly quiet. When I go to a elementary school class, and I did taught yoga to youth one time. That's it. I'm done. I've retired. It's very difficult because these kids are going a mile a minute. They're moving around and they're doing flips and cartwheels and all kinds of things. They're making so for students to really, especially at the elementary school, middle school level, to sink into a pose and just be patient and be calm and not move is really a challenge. And even to some level in early high school years. So this project, the Youth Yoga Project, this is the second year. We started with students in seventh grade. We had 20 students in seventh grade. And then in eighth grade, we had approximately 13 students decided to practice yoga for a second year. So they practiced yoga 1 to 2 times in a free period. I call it study hall, but they call it auxiliary period. I guess that's the new name, auxiliary period. What's the name? I don't know. So it's auxiliary, or there's another PC name on it, so the study hall. But it basically, it's a free period. So students are allowed to join a yoga class. So in the first year, we had 20 students in the yoga class and 20 control students. And the second year, we didn't have any controls. We had trouble recruiting controls for a second year, at least the same students. And we just took 13 of the students who practiced yoga in the first year. For both years, the 13 yoga students completed a survey 3 times a year, once at the beginning of the school year, once at the end of the first semester, sometime in January, and then once at the end of the school year in the end of May. Some of the measures we looked to track over the course of time, we looked at the positive and negative affect, life satisfaction, perceived stress, perceived sleep quality, blood pressure, weight, resting heart rate. These are all based upon other studies that have been done, either with the benefits of yoga for different populations or other measures that have been used for looking at anxiety or stress or psychosocial disorders with children. Let's see here. So as far as some of the analysis here, before we get into some of the results here, some of the analysis that we did for most of the project was a quantitative analysis. Most of our measures were some type of interval or ratio measurement. So we had mostly numbers to work with different scales. And the primary analysis that we did was a series of 2x3 two-way ANOVAs, a fully repeated ANOVA. So we had two years we evaluated and also tracked them changes over the course of 3 times a year. So what that allowed us to do is to have a lot of power to find differences, especially when we only had 13 subjects. I know it's a small sample size, so it's difficult to find differences, but luckily we had 6 measures for each student. So some of the results we did find in the study, very similar to what we found in the previous year. We saw a significant decrease in reported levels of anxiety from some of the questions measuring anxiety. We saw a decreased negative affect or negative emotions reported by students. We saw an increase in positive mood or positive affect. Decreased stress post-yoga. So some of the questions we asked them, what is your regular stress level? And so we talked to them and tried to clarify what we meant by them, because we are talking with 12, 13, 14-year-old students. So what their normal stress level is. And then we talked about what would you rate your normal stress level after you practice yoga. And we saw a significant decrease in their stress post-yoga over the course of time. We also saw a decreased blood pressure for individuals who had elevated blood pressure. We had approximately 4 or 5 students who had questionably high blood pressure, not surprising given today's obesity rates. And we did see a decrease in that over time, which was correlated for these students with weight loss. So the students did lose weight over the course of time, which is another measure, obviously, that leads to a decrease in blood pressure. Let's see here. And we also saw those who had an elevated heart rate. So this is only for those who had an elevated heart rate. And we saw a decrease in that over the course of time as well. We did ask some open-ended qualitative questions. I personally love qualitative research, but unfortunately, a good portion of our research world doesn't buy into qualitative research as much. That's not my opinion, that's just kind of what we see a lot, unfortunately, in the literature. Students did report a way to actually manage their stress, so they talk about being in stressful situations, especially test anxiety. Any teachers out here have students with test anxiety? Anybody? So, what's that?
Students have test anxiety.
Yes.
Students have them.
Yes, definitely students, but a lot of it's actually clinically diagnosed now. And at every level, college, high school, middle school, so much to the point that a lot of students now will be given extra time to take any test. And so, like for example, my final exam, students instead of 2 hours have 4 hours who have a note from the counseling center. So test anxiety, it is a real thing, and it affects a lot of students. And what a lot of the students report about is they usually do get stressed about tests, even when they've studied a lot. But once they learn their pranayama and yoga practice, they would do some of those things and feel better and more relaxed when they're in those stressful situations, such as taking a test or even in class participation. A lot of students reported that they don't like to participate in class or they don't like to say things in class at times because they're afraid of what other people will think. They reported feeling more comfortable in classes after practicing yoga. And that's part of the buy-in, too, for why a school would allow yoga in a class, right? You know, I mean, because some of these schools are focused on budgets and they're focused on test scores. And that's our little hook, so to speak, to get administrators interested in allowing yoga in the classroom, is to talk about current research that's being done, especially at the Niroga Institute, where they're seeing students who practice yoga on a regular basis have increased test scores as well as improved social behavior, basically not getting in as much trouble. And of course, students reported having fewer issues being able to focus with their, like I said, with their attention in class, especially those with diagnosis of ADD or ADHD. So there's other studies have been talked about that, where students have trouble focusing, they're constantly have that, in yoga we call it the monkey mind, so where they're completely scattered, and I think all of us probably suffer from the monkey mind if you have you live in the world today. And so they reported being able to handle those situations in a better way. Not that it eliminated it, but they find it a better way to manage that. So we are in the process of trying to start we started a youth yoga school in Evansville. My colleague Stacey Shank started this. And we try to do more research with schools, so this is kind of a little addendum to my study. And we try to repeat this in Evansville, but this is one of those pleas I have to the audience of any ways to get administrators to buy into yoga, I'm open to hearing. This is basically, we tried to do a study 3 or 4 times and with the Evansville School Corporation and also with a couple of the private schools in Evansville, and each time something's come up. So where they have not allowed us to do it or they can't find the time. So so there is growing interest among this, but unfortunately still it's few and far between the different schools, and usually we find the most success through some type of private organization. Some other benefits that we've kind of found, a couple different qualitative responses here, kind of finish up with. Teens are more likely obviously, to have psychosocial issues and physical health issues at a younger age, although it may be some people might argue that point with the rise in childhood obesity. But overall, for example, a researcher was talking yesterday about why they don't do marijuana research on college students. It's because college students are healthy. And so our youth are generally healthy, but they do struggle with many more psychosocial issues. And that's where our mindfulness practice, such as yoga, can be beneficial. Some of the other things reported is that students reported that they had their own identity. Students struggle with that a lot of times, especially in middle and high school about who they are and exactly, because they usually try to mimic behavior, what they see, whether it's their parents or sometimes the opposite of their parents, or obviously their peers, or unfortunately what they see on television a lot of the time. So, and teens are more curious and open-minded with different things in yoga practice. That's the other thing we found. Sometimes when I teach, I try to get my colleagues at work. I teach yoga 3 times a week to my colleagues at the University of Southern Indiana, and getting them to participate is a challenge at times until they come to a class, because they think they have to be 20 and be able to put their leg behind their head, or whatever the case may be. And so there's some barriers to getting people to practice yoga and some of the other things that research. But with kids, they're open-minded. They're like, this is great. This is great. Or they say, we do the same thing in gym class. You know, we do the same things, but we don't have this, you know, 8-syllable name for it, you know, Supta Padakanasana or something like that. So students are generally open-minded and open to different lessons. So that's one of the great things that I have found from doing research with kids. There are other opportunities, like I said, especially there's new research being done, yoga for weight loss, and especially not necessarily that yoga leads to weight loss directly, such as, I don't know, if students were on a nutrition plan or an intense cardio plan where they'd see weight loss, but more so that students become more mindful of their choices of what they put into their bodies and what they eat and generally what their behaviors are. They become more mindful, very similar to adults. So that might be an opportunity for having more kids practice yoga, is the benefits of decreasing obesity as well as increased test scores. So there's a picture of one of our teachers and one of our students here, some of our projects. And there's currently a lot of different research being done about kids' yoga. Dr. Satvir Khalsa is doing a lot of research in Boston at Harvard Medical School, is where he's based out of. There's a lot of research being done in after school programs, but they do have limitations because kids aren't consistently there. And sometimes finding the resources can be a challenge, and it necessarily doesn't get to all students. At the same time, yoga in place of a free period of study hall can be beneficial for students because it's already built into the school day. Any time a yoga practice, for example, is incorporated into the workday for adults or into the school day for children, generally has more success. Because the primary benefit for people practicing yoga is time. And so when we include it into the regular school day or the regular work day, people are more likely to practice. And of course, there's more and more yoga camps, retreats, and workshops for children in elementary school and middle school to practice as a way to get students interested in the activity.